So today is the most auspicious day of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, in the material world. He appeared approximately 500 years ago. Actually, it is now 525 years ago that he appeared on the full moon night of the Falgun month. And he appeared on the occasion of a lunar eclipse when pious Hindus and even Muslims observed the eclipse by immersing themselves in the Ganges River and chanting the holy names of Krishna, Hari. And in these circumstances, Lord Chaitanya appeared. Now we say that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But someone might question, on what basis do we say so? In fact, according to scripture, the Lord is Triyuga, which means that he appears in three ages, Satvayug, Tretayug, and Dwaparayug. So, according to a superficial reading, one could say there is no incarnation in Kali Yuga because the Lord is Triyuga. But as we read in the morning, the verse from the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that although the Lord is Triyuga, he does appear in the age of Kali as a Channa avatar. Channa means covered. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he covered himself with the luster of Srimati Radharani and the mood of Srimati Radharani. In other words, he appeared as a devotee in the mood of a devotee. And he did so for many reasons. One reason is to teach us in Kali Yuga how to be devotees. That is the main instruction for us. But he also appeared as a devotee. He did not assert himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he knew that in Kali Yuga there would be many pretenders, many false incarnations claiming to be God. There are so many such false incarnations in India, but generally they claim to be Krishna or Rama or both. And thus they mislead innocent people. Of course, there's also a question of how innocent they are, because they may be presented with actual knowledge, but they don't want to know the truth because it does not please their senses. They go to a holy person because they want their senses to be pleased. But a sadhu, the word sadhu means one who cuts. Sadhus cut the false attachments and illusions of conditioned souls. And because some people are attached to their sense gratification and their false conceptions, they don't like a sadhu. They don't like what a sadhu says. And they can even become inimical. So, Srila Prabhupada commented that one popular religious figure in Bengal, he claimed to be an incarnation of Rama and Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada said, well, if his claim to fame, if his claim to greatness is that he's an incarnation of Rama and Krishna, then why not worship the original Rama and Krishna? At best, he's an incarnation of Rama and Krishna, but we don't know for sure. He may or may not be. But if the best that he could be is an incarnation of Rama and Krishna, why not worship the original Rama and Krishna? So there are so many. Srila Prabhupada commented there are incarnations of God loitering on every street corner in India. And people are very happy to go to these so-called incarnations because the so-called incarnations don't demand any surrender. Fortunately, people don't very often claim to be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he's a devotee. They rather claim they're Krishna or Vishnu or Rama. But there is one current who does claim to be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and or an incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he openly says, or his followers say, why should you go to ISKCON and perform sadhana? After all, what is the purpose of sadhana? The purpose of sadhana is to develop prema. But if you come to this so-called incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he will just give you prema. You don't have to do sadhana. So this is a very attractive proposition. I don't have to make any effort. I don't have to sacrifice. I don't have to follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. I just go to this incarnation and he will give me prema. There are many, many like that. There's one he claims to be an incarnation of Krishna. But it's like that. There was a poster of him, and the caption of the poster was, "Why fear when I am here?" So I wondered what is the purport of this statement. And Srila Prabhupada explained that the purport is what the message that he or his followers give to other followers is, you don't need to be afraid of committing sinful activities because you will not have to suffer the reaction, because such and such Baba is here. So this kind of cheating is rampant in Kali Yuga. It's rampant. But Srila Prabhupada and his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, used to say that we live in a society of cheaters and cheated. That's the whole material world. Someone is cheating, and someone else is being cheated. But Srila Prabhupada further explained that those who are cheated by false gurus or false gods want to be cheated. They want something that will please their senses. They want someone who will say, you don't need to do sadhana, just come to me and I will give you prema. What is that prema that he gives? Or, you don't have to worry about committing sinful activities, I will give you protection, just think of me. You won't have to suffer any reactions. What kind of bluffing is this? Is it just absolute humbug? It says absolute humbug. Whoever heard of such a thing? You don't need to do sadhana. I just give you prema. What is this? Where is this in the Bhagavad Gita? Or Srimad Bhagavatam or any shastra? Or you can engage in sinful activities, just think of me, and you have nothing to fear. I will protect you. Who are you? Where did you get the power to protect people from sinful reactions? So this is really blatant cheating. It's blatant cheating. But these false gods, imitation gods or false gurus, have many followers. So when it's so obvious that they are bluffing, that they are cheating, that they are misleading people, why do people follow them? It's so obvious. Because they want to be cheated. They want to be cheated. They want something cheap. They don't want to pay the price for the genuine thing. So they go to the cheaters. They go to the imitation. Srila Prabhupada gave the example, and it was true. There was someone in Calcutta who used to be able to imitate the barking of different types of dogs. And he would actually have performances. People would pay money and buy tickets and attend his imitation of the barking of different types of dogs. So Srila Prabhupada commented that people are ready to pay money to see the imitation dog. But the real dog is outside on the street. They could see the real dog, but they'd rather pay their hard-earned money and see the imitation dog. So in the same way, they are going to these imitation gods. We are offering, here is the real God, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is also Krishna, according to Shastra. But they don't want the real God. They want to be entertained by the imitation God. So that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not, or let us say Krishna did not come again in a form in which he asserted himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he came in a covered form as a Channa avatar. So that more people, more false imitation gods would not crop up. And by and large, as I mentioned, there are very few, one prominent one that I know who claims to be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, it was a good strategy, but it was also a good strategy for another reason. And that is he wanted to teach us how to be devotees. 5,000 years ago when Krishna came, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita and instructed Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Manmana, always think of me. Madbhakta, become my devotee. Madhyaji, worship me. And Mam Namaskuru, offer homage unto me. And Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Charanam. Give up all your so-called dharmas, religions, and duties, and surrender to me. So people did not really understand how to apply the teachings of Krishna. There were people who thought that Krishna is asking too much. Sarvadharman parityaja, mamekam saranam praja, give up everything and surrender exclusively to Krishna, ma may come. Some recent commentator said Krishna is asking too much. Such rascals. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he introduced the Sankirtan movement. And he did not immediately insist that one should surrender to Krishna, but he simply said, as Srila Prabhupada, his representative, said, just add Krishna to what you're already doing. You don't have to change anything, but you just add Krishna. Of course, that was also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. In his discussion with Ramananda Rai, he inquired of Ramananda Rai, what is sadhana and what is sadhya? What is the means to approach the goal and what is the goal? So the goal is Krishna and love of Krishna. Prema Pumartho Mahan. That is the ultimate goal of life. And what is the sadhana? What is the means to attain the goal? So Ramananda Rai, he began quoting different verses. And they were all proper verses from the Bhagavad Gita and other shastras. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yeho Vaya, this is external. Go further. Then finally, Ramananda Rai came to a verse that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted. He said, yes. He didn't say, this is external. He said, yes. But go further. And that verse was, Gyane prayasu udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya bhartam. Gyane means the speculative process of knowledge. Gyane prayasu udapasya namanta eva. Basically, reject mental speculation. Everyone is absorbed in mental speculation, even when it comes to spiritual matters. They just indulge in mental speculation. And they are very proud and happy to say, I think that, well, you think. What is the value of your thinking? Who are you? They have no sense. They are insignificant living entities. They are under the control of the material nature. As Srila Prabhupada said, they are being kicked like footballs from one end to the other and back and forth. They have no control. Someone comes, I mean, it's just one example. Someone comes on an H-1 visa and his contract expires or he loses his job and then he's frantic. How can I stay in America? I don't want to have to go back. What to do? And if he's not fortunate, according to some calculation, just like kicked by the foot, that ball that was so anxiously trying to stay in America is back in Bombay or Delhi or wherever. So we are being kicked. And ultimately, we will be kicked out of this body. We may be very proud of our body, American body or Indian body or Brahmin's body or whatever. But at any moment we can be kicked out and we have no control over it. We have no control over where we end up. We could end up in the body of a dog or in the body of a god. We could be a Hindu from India, a very strong nationalist, and hate the Muslims and hate Pakistan. And in our next life, we could take birth as a Muslim in Pakistan and hate the Hindus and hate the Indians. So, what is the value of our sentiments? We are just insignificant living entities being kicked here and there by the material nature. Yeah, material nature might let us have some years of relative comfort and ease and stability and security, but it won't last forever. We like to think it will last forever. but it won't. We all accept, theoretically, yes, yes, one day I will have to leave this body. But we don't actually accept it. We actually, I guess the modern psychological terms is we're in denial. We're in denial. We don't really think that it will happen to us. It's happening to others, but we think it won't actually happen to us. In fact, when Yamaraj in disguise asked Yudhisthira, what is the most wonderful thing, what is the most amazing thing? The answer was, the amazing thing is that every day people are dying. But I think I will not die. We lead our life like that. We think we won't die, and therefore we're madly trying to accumulate material things, property, money in the bank, all sorts of things. There was a story that Srila Prabhupada told, I'm sure from the scriptures, of a man who every 100 years, one hair would fall out of his head. And he was just living on the seaside, on the beach, chanting and doing sadhana. And someone asked him, why don't you build yourself at least a little cottage so you have some shelter? And he said, oh, this life is very temporary. Why should I spend my time building a cottage? I'm only here for a short time. Now, how many hairs does a person have on his head? He must have a lot. And one would fall out every 100 years, so he had a long lifetime. But he was thinking, from the perspective of eternal time, that this is just a flash. So why should I spend my time building some temporary residence? Of course, in Kali Yuga, people are very weak, physically weak, so, okay, they need a place to stay. But they should know that it's temporary, and that the body itself is a residence for the soul, and that's also temporary. So we shouldn't put all our energy into our body or our motor car or our house or anything material. We should put our energy into our real life as a soul. And our real life as a soul is in relationship to the Supreme Soul, to Krishna. That's where we should put our efforts and our energy. Otherwise, we have to work. Everyone is making efforts. This so-and-so may say, you don't need to do sadhana, I will just give you prema. But okay, they're not making any efforts to realize God or to achieve love for God, but they're making efforts to earn money, to maintain their families. They're making so many efforts to solve so many problems. But you solve one, and then there's another one. There's no end to solving problems, because there's no end to problems. So why not put some time and energy, really the focal point of our time and energy should be to make an effort that will bring about a permanent solution, not a temporary one, you know. So that is Krishna consciousness, and that it is the purpose for which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended. So I will read this verse. We won't discuss too much. But it's from Srimad Bhagavatam, and it answers the question. It answers two questions. Why do we say that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna? And the second is, if he is Krishna, then why did he come? What does he want us to do? So, the verse reads, Krishna Varnam Krisa Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajantihi Sumedas. It is on the verse. Well, maybe. Anyway, we'll move along. But yes, we'll give you a chance to purify your hearts, purify the atmosphere by repeating after me. Krishna Varnam. Tvisa Krishnam. Sangopangastra. Parshadam. Yagyai. Sankirtana. Prayair. Yajanti. He. Sumedasa. Now, we'll read what each word means. Repeat again. Krishna Varnam.
Krishna Varnam.
Repeating the syllables Krishna.
Repeating the syllables Krishna.
Dvisha.
Dvisha.
With a luster.
With a luster.
Akrishnam.
Akrishnam.
Not black.
Not black.
Golden.
Golden.
Sa-anga.
Sa-anga.
Along with associates.
Along with associates.
Upanga.
Upanga.
Servitors.
Servitors.
Astra.
Astra.
Weapons.
Weapons.
Parshadam.
Parshadam.
Confidential companions.
Confidential companions.
Yagyai.
Yagyai.
By sacrifice.
By sacrifice.
Sankirtana Prayai.
Sankirtana Prayai.
Consisting chiefly of congregational chanting.
Consisting chiefly of congregational chanting.
Yajanti.
Yajanti.
They worship.
They worship.
He.
He.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Sumedasa.
Sumedasa.
Intelligent persons.
Intelligent persons.
Now, translation. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Purport. The same verse is quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 3, verse 52. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has given the following commentary on this verse. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his commentary on the Bhagavatam, known as the Krama Sandarbha. wherein he says that Lord Krishna also appears with a golden complexion. That golden Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, who is worshipped by intelligent men in this age. That is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by Garga Muni, who said that although the child Krishna was blackish, he appears in three other colors, red, white, and yellow. He exhibited the white and red complexions in Satya and Treta ages respectively. He did not exhibit the remaining color, yellow gold, until he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, who is known as Gaura Hari. So when Krishna appeared, you know the story, he was carried by Vasudev to Gokul and placed in the bed of Mother Yashoda. And so Nanda and Yashoda and all the cowherd community in Braj, they accepted Krishna as the son of Nanda and Yashoda. And just after the baby's birth, Vasudev arranged for the Brahmin priest, or actually great sage, Garga Muni, to visit Nanda Maharaj and do the horoscope of the baby. So in his horoscope, he said that this child appears in different colors in different ages. A white color, a red color, and a yellow color. But in this appearance, he has a blackish color. So, in Satwa Yuga, he appeared in the reddish color, Sukla. In Treta Yuga, he appeared in the reddish color, Raptak. And in Dwapara Yuga, he appeared in the blackish color, Sham. But the fourth age is Kali Yuga. And what is the color in Kali Yuga? It is yellow, or golden. So when the Bhagavatam says Krishna Varna, Varna, Varna yet means to repeat or to glorify. So one meaning is he is always repeating the name of Krishna. But Varna also means category, like Chatur Varna Maya Shristam, four categories. So Krishna Varna also means that he's in the same category as Krishna. Now, who can be in the same category as Krishna except Krishna? There's no one equal to him or greater than him. So Krishna Varna, he's in the same category as Krishna, or in other words, he's Krishna. We saw Krishna, but his complexion is not blackish. And we can deduce from the astrological reading of Garga Rishi that it is yellow or golden. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Krishna Varnam means Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam and Krishna Chaitanya are equivalent. The name Krishna appears with both Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he always engages in describing Krishna and thus enjoying transcendental bliss by chanting and remembering his name and form. Lord Krishna himself appeared as Lord Chaitanya to preach the highest gospel. Varnayati means utters or describes. Lord Chaitanya always chants the holy name of Krishna and describes it also. And because he is Krishna himself, whoever meets him will automatically chant the holy names of Krishna and later describe it to others. So this is our mission. This is the Sankirtan movement. That we relish chanting the holy names and glories of Krishna and we distribute it. Sankirtan, kirtan means to glorify or chant, and sang means complete. Complete glorification means when everyone participates. Not just one or two, but complete glorification means when everyone joins in. We are all meant to join in this Sankirtan movement. Today we went to the park and chanted. It's always so wonderful to go out into the streets, into public places, and into parks and chant Hare Krishna. And people join. And when they join, the Lord's pleasure increases. Sometimes they just smile, sometimes they clap, sometimes they dance, sometimes they even chant. And we don't even know how far the effects of the Sankirtan go. Because at one stage I had to leave the chanting party, so I was quite some distance away, and I saw a little black boy sort of keeping time to the music. Who would have imagined? He never came that close. I didn't notice him come that close. But there he was, you know, quite some distance away, but he was hearing the transcendental sound vibration, and he was sort of dancing. In his own way, he was dancing to the rhythm of the kirtan. So this movement is kevalananda kanda, simply joyful, chanting and dancing. And it is all-inclusive for everyone. You can be young, old, rich, poor, educated, uneducated. It doesn't matter what your background is, what your body is. You can chant and dance in ecstasy, and on the spiritual platform of chanting and dancing, everyone is the same. It unites everyone. And that is the problem in the world. The world is so disunited. We have the United Nations. But as Srila Prabhupada commented, because he began his mission in America and New York, and sometimes he would walk by the United Nations building and he would see the number of flags is increasing. That means they're not becoming united, they're becoming more disunited. And that's happening. So everywhere there's division. Kali means quarrel. We're in the age of quarrel. So there's division. Previously in America, people would fight during the elections. They would fight for their candidate. But after the elections, whoever was the president, by and large, everyone would get behind him. The people have decided. They've given him the mandate, so we have to work together for the benefit of the country. But now, that is not there. It's all party politics. All party politics. No one's thinking about the benefit of the people. They're only thinking, the ones who are in power, only thinking how to stay in power. And the ones who are not in power are only thinking how to get in power. After the recent elections, I mean, I don't follow it very much, but someone told me that the new Speaker of the House, like his first declaration was that our main purpose is to make sure that the present president is a one-term president. It's not like we are here to do the best we can for the people of America. No. We are here to make sure that the current president is not reelected. Where is the question of thinking of the welfare of the people? They're only thinking of their own politics. So the Sankirtan movement is really what the world needs, because the Sankirtan movement can unite everyone. At the first Bombay Pandal, I mean, I could say so much, but at the first Bombay Pandal, there was a wedding and initiations. And there were initiations of devotees from all over the world, different places. And the wedding, the boy was from Sweden and the girl was from Australia. And Srila Prabhupada announced who the different people were and where they were from. And then he said, "This is the real United Nations." And everyone cheered and clapped. So the Krishna consciousness movement has that potency to unite everyone if we simply accept the process, accept the mercy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. And if you do, you are sumedasa, very intelligent. Everyone who takes up the Sankirtan movement is sumedasa, is very intelligent, because he's worshipping the incarnation of Krishna for the present age in the right way. And those who worship demigods, what does the Bhagavad Gita say? Alpha medasa, less intelligent, less intelligent. So let us join together. Let us really use this human form of life as it's meant to be used. Not for fighting like cats and dogs. Actually, according to Shastra, anyone who identifies with the body is an animal. If you're in the bodily concept of life, if you're thinking, I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm black, I'm white, I'm Brahmin, I'm man, I'm woman, I'm Gujarati, I'm South Indian. This is all the bodily concept of life. As long as you're in the bodily concept of life, you cannot engage in devotional service. Devotional service begins when you're free from the bodily conception of life. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikena sevanam bhakti uchite. That is the definition of bhakti. Sarva upadi. Upadi means designation. Just that thinking. I'm man. I'm woman. I'm American. I'm Indian. I'm rich. I'm poor. I'm intelligent. I'm uneducated. I'm Gujarati. I'm Bengali. I'm Punjabi. I'm
Sindhi.
Yeah, we don't want the Cindys to feel neglected. Cindys are very important. Very, very, very important. Where would we be without Cindys? What would happen to Cindy if there were no Cindys? Anyway. So, as long as you're in this consciousness, you cannot engage in bhakti. Bhakti begins sarvopadi vinir muktam, when you're freed from these designations. Because as long as you have these designations, then you want to serve, you know, my body, the extensions of my body, my family, my community. You want to serve Krishna. You can only serve Krishna when you're free from designations. And then you can see everyone equally and welcome, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Welcome everyone. Open arms. Please join. Please chant Hare Krishna. So, sarvopadi vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam. Nirmal means pure. Pure. Rishikena rishikesha sevanam. Rishik means senses. So, rishikena means by the senses. Rishikesha is Krishna, the controller of the senses. Bhakti uchite, that is bhakti. So, Srila Prabhupada said that if you bring together an assembly, this is with reference to the United Nations, if you bring together an assembly of cats and dogs, and tell them to sit peacefully and work out their difficulties, will they be able to make peace? No. Why not? Because they're animals. So in the same way, as long as we're in the bodily concept of life, you can give us a beautiful building, UN building, beautiful conference hall, nice tables and chairs and microphones and translators, they won't be able to make peace. Why? He said it. Because they're animals. Because they're animals. How can they make peace? Animals can never make peace. Their nature is to bark and growl and bite and claw. So if people take to the process of bhakti in the Sankirtan movement, then the whole world can be united. It'll be the United Nations of the spiritual world. And then we'll have the unity and peace and love and harmony that we all need and want. So this is not a trifling movement. It's not insignificant. It has the potency to unite the whole world, solve all the problems of the world. People neglect it. They don't understand it. They think it's just some sentimental movement, maybe some Hindu sect, or they're not even sure if it's really Hindu, maybe some modern thing passing as Hindu. I mean, they haven't a clue to what Krishna consciousness really is. But therefore, if someone really understands it, he's Sumedasa, he's very intelligent, and then he will join it. He will join it and dedicate his life and worship this incarnation of Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, by Sankirtan Yoga. Join it doesn't mean you have to become a sannyasi. You can be a grihastha, but you still, you know, support this movement to your full capacity. So let us chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare.